So check this out. I got word that Hulu threw this crazy party in Beverly Hills with literally all of the biggest reality TV stars. I'm talking about all the Bravo-lebs. Candy Burris, Portia Williams, James Kennedy, Jax Taylor, even Captain Lee, and Kate Chastain. Here's the genius part. If you want to find out what happened at the party, you have to watch the commercials. Yes, I know I'll be tuning in and then signing up for a free trial to get my favorite reality TV shows at Hulu.com. Check it out.
Josh.
Yeah, that's right. The Wiggle Room is back, week number five. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. Rob is incentivized to say right now as he is watching me on a video stream with a cardboard cutout of Michael Myers as Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. Do you want me to tell you why I have a cardboard cutout of Austin Powers, or would you like to leave that as an international mystery?
Okay, well, let me set the stage here a little bit. So Josh and I, felt cute, might delete later, decided, hey, let's do this one on video. So I'm looking at Josh today when we're recording the Wiggle Room. We're live in the patron Facebook group today. But Josh, for some reason, has like a life-size Austin Powers cutout in his room standing behind him.
Yeah, and I could tell you why I have it, or I can leave it as an international mystery. The International Man of Mystery can just remain true to his name. But I have it. It's there. It doesn't work anymore, but it used to have like an audio box. It has the audio box still built into it, but it was like, I think it was like motion sensitive. I will say this. I'll just tell you where it's from. It's Emily Fox's. It's my wife's.
Sure.
I swear to God. It's Emily's. She's had it since she was a wee tot. I don't know why. Knowing her parents, I cannot imagine how that purchase went down.
Mm-hmm.
How they bought a cardboard cutout life-size Austin Powers. But we liberated it from her home several months ago. And it usually hangs out in the room. And I just like decided like, oh, let's just position it here for the podcast today.
Yeah.
Why not? I think we could all use a little Austin Powers in our life.
Sure, sure.
I'm sure like you could binge watch the whole trilogy now. Like you got all the time in the world.
Well, I would just like to have Austin Powers bring him into the Survivor universe that he could give the Wendell confessional. We shagged, baby. Yeah.
We shagged for a little while. Yeah, baby. It was Randy Bailey. Yeah.
All right. So here we are. Wiggle Room, week number five. Josh, how you holding up?
Oh.
Yeah. That good?
I mean, you know, it is interesting that I think like you can ask just about anybody on the planet Earth right now. So how are you doing? And the answer will probably be like roughly the same. So like that is like cold comfort.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we're here.
You have to laugh. You have to laugh. I mean, I guess you can do more. You have to be very safe. You have to be practicing lots of caution and abundance of caution. And obviously this is all very messed up. These are unprecedented times that we're living in. And the only thing we can do to get through it is to have each other's backs. And I feel very, very, very dedicated to that belief. As somebody who is very outspokenly anxious, somebody who has anxiety disorder, as somebody who struggles with mental health, I understand how taxing a situation like this can be. And for me, it actually it really comes into focus to me how much a community like this one really, really matters. You know, community, just generally the global community, is something that is really trying to come together right now as we're trying to work through a really intricate problem that's impacting literally everyone on the planet. But here, even just in the RHAP universe, you know, the fact that you had the great podcast with Mike and the doctors, Cody.
Yes, you know, yeah, Dr. Mike, John Cody, and Candace Cody, who are scheduled to join us for the recap this week. You know, assuming that they have the time to do it. They're going to talk about some Survivor on Thursday, but last night on Sunday night, Dr. Mike put together a panel talking about some Q&A from a panel of doctors about things that people could be doing right now as we are attempting to socially distance.
Yeah. And I think one thing that we can be doing as best as we can when we can is to laugh and find the light where it exists. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy that we have the outlet to do that here on this podcast, and it not to make light of anything that is going on in the world. But it's exhausting, and you kind of have to laugh. And I think what we'll do here today, hopefully, I know it will be cathartic for me, and hopefully a little cathartic for you guys as well.
Yeah, you know, we got to pay attention to what's going on, but also we have to put it on the back
burner live our
for
lives.
A little while, and you know, keep our mind thinking about something else. Okay, all right. So that's what we're here to do in the Wiggle Room, and we're going to talk about episode number 5 here of Winners at War. And Boston Rob, one of, you know, the most important Survivor figures, ends up going out this week. Josh, thoughts on perhaps Boston Rob's last ride on Survivor?
Well, I mean, it's ongoing, right? I mean, I know we didn't actually see the edge of extinction this week, but it's like if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound? Yeah, it does. The edge of extinction still makes a sound, and it sounds something like, ah, oh, no. So that's where Boston Rob is right now. So he's still at it. And don't count out Boston Rob. He was beasting many of these challenges this season. So I certainly wouldn't count out. I mean, yeah, he threw everybody over the thing, right? And then the puzzles, though, yeah, that was bad. That was bad. Yeah. Maybe he feels like he has something to prove.
He had a mixed bag with the puzzles. He had a couple that he, you know, ended up not doing so great on, but he had the one where Dekal seemed to have a lot of trouble with it. They came in, him and Michelle really went through that, putting together the compass like a buzzsaw. So there were some good and bad.
Sure.
If the bad was very bad.
The bad was not good. The bad was not great. Look, if he can get some of his Redemption Island mojo back, some of that sweet red eye sauce. But we know how he tried to do that this weekend.
I lost my mojo.
Yeah, I lost my mojo, baby. Yeah, I'm feeling Randy Bailey.
I lost my mojo.
Yeah. Austin Shane Powers. That's it. That's the tweet. But if he can go back to the older era of Boston Rob, then maybe he's got a fighting shot on EOE. I would not count him out by any stretch of the imagination. Also, the show loves him, so they'll just like find a way to make his giant head sculpture like a place that can become like an active player in the game.
I know you are a never edger, Josh, but any interest in seeing Robin Amber on the Edge back together?
Yes, sure, of course. As I've said before, like it's here, right? So like we got to make do with it. We gotta take it as it is. It's the situation. Just got to push forward through it. And so since Edge of Extinction exists for this season, and since we are going to have Rob and Amber out there, yeah, I think that's going to be interesting. What I would love is like the more, like I would love, caught myself, was about to say would love the uncensored version. What I meant is, that's a trap. What I meant to say
that
was,
is
I was
not the Survivor All-Star contestant that's going to give you that.
No. I would love the feeds. Right? I love the EOE feeds because I think that there'd be some fascinating stuff out there in the unedited. That still doesn't sound great. I'm not trying to talk about what's going to happen with Romber.
You put the Edge of Extinction on CBS All Access and give you...
Well, why do you have CBS All Access and Edge of Extinction and you don't do like a crazy amount of Edge of Extinction content is really insane to me. Like just very, very bad
digital
strategy. And there's so many interesting people out there right now that if you're going to do it, Just do it all the way.
Yeah, Rob and Amber are going to do it, right?
they're going to do it.
You're going to do it. Okay. All right. So, Josh.
Preston Coleman says, edging after dark is what that would be called.
Okay. Yeah. So, Boston Rob's out of the game. Any thoughts on that tribal council that was with Ben and Adam voting with Sophie and Sarah?
Right. Less about thoughts about the tribal council and more just the audacity of Boston Rob trying to implement the buddy system on a group of winners. And was there ever a universe where that was really going to work? With the right group of people, could he have pulled that one off here on season 40 with a group of Survivor winners? He had a very, 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 very rough swap draw.
Mm-hmm.
I almost can't imagine a worse swap draw for him than the one that he got.
Yeah, but I respect the attempt because what other play did he have here? He has to know that Ben and Adam don't love him, that there is no love lost there between those three players. They talked about it at the well, how awkward it was, that previous vote against the Ethan vote, and how badly that played out. And so Rob's only chance was, okay, this is what we're doing, and then I'll just make it super awkward for anybody else to talk about any other plan and try to run out the clock.
Yeah, but he didn't know he was up against the Sarah Sophie combo.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very skilled Survivor players. I am remarkably impressed with Sarah Lucina as a Survivor player.
She's been great this season.
I think she's been really, really strong. And Sophie has been fantastic and fantastic TV too. When she talks about how Boss Rob's like an asshole, like that was hysterical.
Yeah.
That really killed me. I thought that was so, so funny. But I also thought it was, I ding the production from time to time on things like EOE, but I want to give credit where it's due that I thought it was like masterful storytelling. The way that they managed to make an afternoon of sitting around and doing literally nothing as compelling as it was. I think it's a testament to the great narrators. I think it's a testament to just the way that you can get creative with telling a story where you can cut around in time. I just thought it was so fun. It was so fun to watch that like something as, you know, potentially like effective, but kind of mundane as the buddy system, even if it's the buddy system on steroids, was able to be such rich TV. And for what could very well be, depending on what happens next, could very well be like Boston Rob's final time, like really playing Survivor, right? If he doesn't win his way back into the game, unless you're counting like EOE hijinks as playing Survivor, then that could have been like the hill that he chose to die on, with that tried and true method. And if that's not, really representative of the way Boston Rob plays Survivor, right? Like he only knows one way. Like Colby, it's Full Tilt, but with an accent.
Josh, was the buddy system better without the performance enhancing substances?
yeah, but I think that's because he was a major leaguer in AAA. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, like he was going up. He was an adult playing basketball against kindergartners.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really fair.
Yeah. So in the original buddy system, the idea was like everybody needed a buddy and then you had to be with your buddy all the time. And then basically then if your buddy was talking to one of the Zaps, talking to somebody from Zapatero, then you
Zaps.
Had to come and narc on your buddy and tell them hey, Rob, just so you know, Natalie was talking to Ralph. So because she's got to get voted out next. Okay. All right. Yeah. Narc on your buddy. But I feel like in this instance, the buddy system didn't necessarily work because this was, I think an interesting question that we've been talking about this week. Did Adam and Ben work with each other? If this was the true buddy system, if Ben goes and talks to, Sarah, Adam's got to be, Rob, I have to tell you. And then it's like, hey, well, now we got to vote up, Ben.
But they don't even have
the numbers to do that. I mean,
yeah. 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 But I think like, what are you going to do? You're going to triple up. Like you got odd numbers here for the buddy system. It's a 5-person tribe. It's a 3-2. If you're trying to get it the way that you want to get it. Is there a version of this where Boston Rob is trying to play ball more with Sarah and Sophie? especially if he knows that things were as bad as they were with Ben and Adam. Maybe he makes that play. Maybe he goes for that. But I think at the same time, like, he reads the room. It's a crap draw for Boston Rob.
Yeah.
Like, those are all, like, Sophie isn't, but Sarah, Ben, and Adam are all new winners. You know, like, he just doesn't have a good spot like that. Well, it's interesting that Boston Rob and Sophie have back-to-back wins, right, in Survivor history, and that they have not, it would seem, crossed paths very much. Maybe doesn't speak so well of Boston Rob's social game after all.
Yeah, I mean, Boston Rob doesn't hang out with a ton of survivors, and so I don't know necessarily like what the social scene was like around that time in 2011. But for Rob, I wonder also if when he finds out, okay, they voted out Amber unanimously, they voted out Tyson unanimously, okay, is there any there to go along with Sophie and Sarah, even for one vote? Whereas that it seems like, at least on his original tribe, that there were some people in Michelle and Jeremy who were at least interested in working together with them. And I feel like keeping Selle together was probably Rob where he saw like the most daylight to move forward.
Yeah, I think it's his best move. But his best move is not a great move. That's what I mean. It's like, I think that just like the option could have found an idol that could have been helpful. you know,
is not
very good at that by his own admission. He just didn't have a lot to do. Sometimes Survivor just like moves you into the spot where you're kind of stuck. Not a lot of wiggle room.
No. But sometimes, as Sophie said, you do get this feeling.
If I get a wiggly feeling, I can pull it out.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh. Yabba dabba doo.
All right.
Try as you might, you can't scrub wiggle from the Survivor lexicon, Survivor gods.
You can't.
You can't.
Josh, we've talked about it so much on the podcast this week. Do you have any thoughts on Michelle and Wendell?
Other than it was hysterical television, probably nothing earth-shattering. I thought it was great. I loved all the drama at that tribe. What was that one? That's the new Selle, right? Or is that new DeCall?
They are new Selle, yeah.
They're new Selle. Yeah, I love Michelle and Parvati as a combo. Mm-hmm. I think it's really, really fun. And it was so awkward. What an awkward sitch.
Yeah.
You know, X on the beach on Survivor is very, very uncomfortable.
Josh,
I thought it was really funny.
Can you give me the TV couple that is most representative of Michelle and Wendell and the will they, won't they? I feel like a lot of TV couples are like, are they going to get together?
Right.
But sort of like, they were together, and now are they going to get back together?
I have a very bad dated example that is the Bradley Whitford and Amanda Peet characters from Studio 50 on the Sunset Strip.
54, I think.
Oh, no, it's not even them. Yeah. It is Studio 50, but it's not Bradley Whitford and Amanda Peet. Yeah. It's Sarah Paulson
and Matthew Perry.
Studio 54 was also with Mike Myers.
Yeah.
We got it all wrong. Listen, that's why I was confused. Studio 60, because Matthew Perry and Sarah Paulson, like, they had a relationship.
Who played Ron Clark in the Ron Clark movie.
And they had a relationship, and then they had to work together after their relationship, and, like, can they, like, establish peace? And that is like the tension right now with Wendell. And there had to have been an easier example than that, than the one-off season Sorkin show that no one wants to think about.
Yeah.
Probably want to talk about the newsroom more readily.
All right, we'll let the chat tell us if they come up with something better.
Sorry, guys.
Let's talk about the new DeKal tribe, where we saw it's Tony and Sandra and Kim are now swapped with Jeremy and Denise. And the big buzz this week, Josh, is Tony about to get completely screwed out of the game with a pre-merge advantage get-in?
I hope not. So set the deck on this for me a little bit, because I've been behind on listening to all the chatter.
Okay.
Who has what, and what is the threat we're looking at?
It's easy. Three queens, three idols. Sandra's idol expires at the next tribal council. Jeremy has a safety without power advantage. And then I think that the wrinkle here is that I believe that that has to be played before the votes are cast, I believe.
Right.
So
right.
that the chain reaction of events that everybody's afraid about is like, hey, Sandra potentially is going to be blindsided if Kim ends up flipping. So Sandra ends up playing her idol because it's the last night that she can play it. Sandra's not going to go home with an idol in her pocket. She plays it just to, hey, last night I could play it, I might as well. Like, uh-oh, Sandra has an idol. Who knew? All right, now Kim's like, all right, I'm not messing around, I'm going to play my idol. Denise is like, I'm not messing around, I'm playing my idol. Then it was presumed Jeremy says, okay, I got to peace out here. This is getting too crazy. And
right.
then Tony then, but Jeremy would need to play his safety without power then
first.
Prior to that.
Okay. So that sounds like it's not a terribly likely scenario then that Jeremy would be up for grabs and then it would be a thing between Tony and Jeremy.
Yeah, it seems like that would be the case. And also, two tribes are going to tribal council this week. So there's a 66% chance that group is voting also.
Okay, so here's the thing. DeKal must be protected at all costs. Mm-hmm. DeKal has to win this challenge. It is critical that DeKal wins this challenge. Because there's still, as I've been saying, like it's going to be heartbreaking almost every single week on this show because there's so many people we love that are playing. But I think that DeKal is the tribe where I see no acceptable loss. There's no one who would go home on DeKal where I would be happy that that happened. I mean, not that I would be happy for anybody at this point, but I'd be devastated for all five of them to go. And for Tony to go out that way would be awful, but probably fairly true to his story arc as the king of advantages from his first season to get
advantage. Had a bag of tricks, and then a bag of tricks gets dumped out on him.
To get like advantage screwed on a season that is to get advantage screwed on the winter season after advantage getting had previously occurred on Game Changers the season he was voted out second. Like I'm just trying to do like if you're writing like the biography of Tony's survivor journey, it makes sense, and I hate it, and I want nothing to do with it. Jeremy better bring his throwing arm to the immunity challenge coming up this week because I will not abide anything happening to Tony, but I will not be thrilled if anything happens to any of the other four.
That's a really stacked tribe in terms of the challenges, especially when they can now sit out Sandra going into this tribe.
Oh, sure.
This challenge where now they're going to be up a person. But also, don't forget about the new Cele, which is also a pretty stacked tribe. So it feels like that of the three tribes, you would think that it is going to be at least new Yara.
Yara.
It feels like that they're probably most likely to go back based on just the makeup of the tribe. Josh, we have a new tribe named Yara. First time we had a Game of Thrones tribe name.
But
I feel like that Sophie is kind of like a Yara Greyjoy character.
Oh, I can see it. There's a badass. I could say that about Sarah too. I feel like Sarah's a badass. Sarah's kind of tricky, like a Lannister. She's got like some Lannister trickiness. Though Sophie's very clever too.
The Lannister lions and the hyenas. There are.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Who's I think like Ben is like a Ben's free folk. Ben is from beyond the wall. Ben's from beyond the wall for sure. No question. And I don't want to speculate on anyone else.
You know, I tried to find the person who made it because it was a great meme on Reddit, but they talked about how, you know, Tony has basically gone to Game of Thrones to figure out his game because, as Littlefinger once said, chaos isn't a pit, isn't a spy bunker. Chaos is a ladder, which Tony has built. Josh, did you see the secret scene where Tony has he got the ladder back out? This time he sends Denise up the ladder.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she did it.
How'd she do?
Yeah. She's small enough that she wasn't about to break the ladder.
Okay. All right. That's good.
That was good.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Nothing can happen. Nothing can happen to Tony. All right. I'll quit Survivor again. And then obviously come back next season because that's
next season
that's
or
how
next
this
week?
Works. Yeah. Next week.
Okay.
Josh, I say I'm done. I'm never done. Anything else? Yeah, it was great that there was no Edge of Extinction. You know, it's
like we're due next week for a big catch up.
We're probably. Are we gonna do the combined tribal council next week?
That's what I thought, but it sounds like there's gonna be a double eviction and two tribal councils. That I really thought that like, okay, well, this is like textbook now. Okay, we are going to have three tribes, and then two of those tribes are going to come together and vote off one person. Where we have the Malcolm, and then that was also where we saw Big Wendy go out the same way back in The Edge of Extinction. But it looks like that we're going to have two separate tribal councils here in this episode. Okay. Double eviction, okay. and then we're a double elimination, and then we're going to bring somebody back, I think probably the following week from the Edge.
Okay, so then we are going to have probably like fairly significant Edge of Extinction sequence because
it's gonna be a weird episode.
It's gonna be some sort of treasure hunt, right? I saw the thing
tribals,
with the log.
We gotta catch up on the Edge. Three tribes.
Yeah, if they start at the Edge and they do that all up front, and then the next scene is the immunity challenge, and you get that all dumped in the first 20 minutes. Then I think you got an episode for the back 40. But I hate that we have to think this way. There's too much stuff. Sophie was right.
It's too much.
Enough things.
I mean, that just like when we're talking about the advantage get-in for Tony, there's a lot of things in the game right now. It's been an underreported story, but there's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Lots of stuff. Okay. Josh, anything else you want to say about episode 5?
I'm sure we'll get into it in the montage.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I don't know if this is becoming a thing, but I guess this is a thing.
It's the mayo jar, ready to spread my love. We can date, kick it, or just have some fun. I'm sorry you and Wendell went co-wrong. You and I, we can co-write for so long. Am I missing anything?
Boo!
Or do you just miss me?
But you get the impression that maybe that maybe the mayo jar has been on the receiving end of a new season whodis text message.
Yeah, and very, very well earned, I would say.
Yeah.
If they're not returning your calls, Nick, if they're big timing you, you may have put that on yourself, bub.
Okay. Thank you, Karen from Canada, with an assist from the mayo jar.
Yes.
Nick Myron.
Okay.
Did appreciate Nick coming in off the bench and pinch hitting.
He's a great guy. Great guy, that Nick Majerano.
He's a good friend. But
I hope he didn't eat my sandwich. That's just all I hope for, that he left that alone.
All right. How about this? Can we redeem ourselves after the mayo jar cameo?
I don't know. I don't think that we get to choose whether or not we're redeemed. I think the audience has to select that.
Let's try to kick this off. Let's try it another way. Hey, Josh, it's March. Everybody's pumped up.
Who's ready for some basketball? Oh, no, wait. And cancel except the one of every four. Now, Bob, Josh, and Casey playing the hits. It's all that we have left. So record your parody song and send it in. Randy Newpool, social distancing. It's not new to us.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Yeah. Are we the only competition in town now?
Yeah.
It's just the Wandoff.
The only. Yeah.
Everyone else left. COVID-19 had nothing on week 40. That is the stronger number.
Okay, Wandoff is here.
Sorry.
Not much else is here, but we're still here,
and we'll be here forever in some way, shape, or form.
Okay. All right. Week 40, you mentioned at the, boy, it was another close week here on the Wandoff.
Okay, how close are we talking about?
Very close. In third place, with 19.82% of the vote, it was Kiri and Alex with Bench.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. A memorial bench in third
memorial
place.
Memorial bench, the Sandra bench. Okay.
Yes.
All right, then... In second place, 25.49. Again, less than half of a percentage point separated the winner from the second place.
Really? Do you have how many votes?
I don't have it in front of me. Okay. The tabulator can get us that after the fact.
Sure.
25.49% of the vote for the Nick That Sucks with So Verbally Flashy and Linguistically Ferocious.
That was really excellent. That was one of the most linguistically fantastic and something ferocious song that I've heard in quite some time.
All right. And then
very well done.
The winner of the week 40 Wandoff, Josh, with 25.92% of the vote. It was Lee H with 5,000 Torches in the Wind.
Yes.
Out on the Tikal Beach, here's the stance. You'll hunt the poker lion. And though they said they'd tell Nick goodbye, you get voted out and you learn they lied. Bye-bye, Tyson Apostle.
Bye, Tyson.
There you go. All right.
Yes,
bye-bye, Tyson Apostle. He'll be back next week. He's on the edge. Okay.
He's on the edge. Congratulations, Lee. Well earned with the little mouse Rattana. Always a good time here in the Wiggle Room. So welcome to the final Wandoff.
Welcome.
You're in.
Welcome. All right.
You're in.
All right. Here we go. So let's bring in the host of the Wandoff here.
Oh, no, this is going to be interesting because I actually have never seen the ghost of Casey Kasem in person. This is a first for me.
Let's bring in the host of the Wandoff, the late, great Casey Kasem. Rob, it's an honor to be here, socially distancing myself from all of you and your germs. Yeah. All right, Casey, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh my God. This is weird. This is the uncanny valley. It's really, if you're watching it, this is the reason to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, is to watch this video, because you're going to get to see Casey Kasem possess Rob Cesternino. Casey, you have not been keeping social distance from Rob. You're invading his body.
But after I get done, I wash my apparition completely and I never touch his face.
Okay, good. I've touched my face a little bit here, but I've washed my hands thoroughly. Thoroughly washed. Very washed.
That is the
also,
thing.
I don't leave my house.
You do a video podcast and in the chat, it's like, oh, you touch your face.
It happened a couple of times. What are you going to do? I'm a face toucher. I'm really trying not to do it. Don't touch your face. You really don't want to touch your face. I've washed my hands. I haven't left the house. I'm never leaving the house again.
All right.
I'm here forever.
Josh, let's kick off this week's honorable mentions. And we kick things off with the great Will from America with a recap of week number 5.
Michelle with her ex. Rob and Amber gonna have sex.
Yeah.
Tony looking rough while Nick confessed his undying love.
Awkward.
Went a little something like,
hey, Parvati, I don't like your husband. That John Fincher is such a hoser.
Great ending.
The great Will from America.
Oh my God. Will from America. Unbelievable. That's the best one. That's the best one so far. Of the week and also of the Wandoff. Every subsequent Wandoff is the new best Wandoff.
Josh, we've got a couple of songs here that are all about the Dakal tribe. First, a song all about life on Dakal for Jeremy and Denise.
Well, we're moving on up to Dakal tribe, moving on up to a deluxe window shelter certified. Yeah, we're moving on up to Dakal tribe, moving on up. We finally got out of Sele pigsty.
That was the theme to the TV show, The Michael Jeffersons.
Oh, man. That would be
Naked and Never Afraid.
Very bad show. Boring show. You could keep me in quarantine forever and I'd never watch it. The Michael Jeffersons. Out of here with that. Unbelievable. Are we going to get another chance to talk about how everyone was just bashing Boston Rob's shelter building game and Survivor left it in when they're also trying to convince us of the narrative that Boston Rob built a mansion? He didn't build a mansion. They built it for him. There's no way. There is no chance. No way.
Right.
Look
that.
At that stuff. Look no. at it. They made like a pig pen. They're sleeping in like a, it's like a playpen. It's not real. The mansion. It's Luigi's mansion. It's a ghost. It's haunted. It's not real. It's not real. And Ghost Island was the season of history. Stop trying to make this the season of history. It's Ghost Island. That was literally the theme of the year. Anyway. Sorry. I was about to touch my face again. I'm so upset.
Josh, how would you like a song about Kim Spradlin?
Yeah, obviously, number one fan over here. Into it. Let's do it.
Here's that was Patrick from Nashville with the last song.
Great,
here's
great job,
DJ
Patrick.
Kid Spradlin.
Oh, okay.
That great. Was from the musical Cats Ederson.
I do hear tell that Cats is going to be available digitally on March 17th.
Okay. That's tomorrow.
It could be now, depending on when you're listening to it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Cats yet. Should we do like a live Cats tweet along? Maybe we'll do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, did you have to do it? Didn't you have to do it something?
We were supposed to, but I think that on Robin and Akiva Need a Podcast, but I'm pretty sure Akiva is scared of the cats. And I think he's been dragging his feet Akiva fashion.
Of the movie or of the aminal? Mm-hmm. Is he scared of the cat or is he scared of the musical? You know I'm a cat, man. I'm available for you. Nick and Mike are cats. That's the cat man. Catman John. Why don't we have a scat man wand off yet? Someone do that before everything is over. Want a scat man wand off.
Josh, are you ready for the next wand off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So we have some corrections that the Jefferson song was from Coop from Indy.
Okay.
DJ Kid Spradlin had the last song.
Okay.
And now here's Patrick from Nashville.
I gotta say, I just thought it was DJ Kim Spradlin, and Kid. It is. I just heard the full enunciation of the word DJ Kid Spradlin, and that's a great concept and great job by DJ Kid Spradlin.
Okay. Here's Patrick from Nashville.
The real one.
Talking about a new alliance.
You don't move forward with an alliance of numbers. You move forward with an alliance of comfort. We're happy to be around.
I remember Kagyan when it was the final eight. I misspoke a name at tribal council. Everybody laughed, but I still won the million. Now I'm in the winner's game, and I just got a new tribe mate. In his eyes, I see a memory. Could this be an alliance? 6 years in the making. Oh,
Jeremy.
Well, my loyalty's yours for the taking. I won't send you away. Oh,
Jeremy.
Will you stop my poor ladder from shaking? I need you today. Oh,
Jeremy.
That was from Dan Barry Manilow.
The space man himself. He maybe had the right idea.
Yeah. Exile Island isn't too bad either.
No. Did Dan Barry Manilow ever tell you that he didn't just fly on spaceships? Or he'd been, no, he was like, bungled it. He said he didn't build the spaceships. He flew them. He was in space. It's been a lot has been happening, guys. I'm just trying to do it.
Thank you, Patrick, from Nashville.
Yes, right. The actual one. Great job.
And we've got one more song about life on the new Dakal tribe.
Do you think the new Dakal tribe should be marketing Dakal Dakals? like
stickers,
yeah. Do you think so or no?
What's
Dakal Dakals?
What's on the Dakal?
It's just a Dakal logo. It's Dakal Dakals.
What's their logo?
It's the name. It's the name Dakal. It's the word. It also could be more elaborate than that, but I'm not a designer.
Mm-hmm.
But like it could be like a Mount Rushmore of Tony, Sandra, Kim, Jeremy, and Denise.
That's five. I know. On Mount Rushmore.
Well, a lot of things are changing. Rob, maybe when all is said and done,
are you saying there's going to be a fifth face added to Mount Rushmore soon? Is that what you're implying?
I'm a little nervous that could be the case. If I'm being quite honest with you,
not zero chance. But
I would not take anything off the table except my hands at this point. Hands off the table.
What if it was the Olympic rings?
Okay, That's good. The decal. Yeah, but Jessica Sterling, who's correcting us on that, isn't it better if we're saying the decal? Isn't that good? I don't know. Maybe not.
All right, Josh. Anyway, we've got James from Canada to talk about an evil, preposterous plan that could be in the works.
This is very, very like Disney villain towards the end. I remember that one. Like Jafar sings Prince Ali towards the end of Aladdin. It's like, hey, get off that song. That's Aladdin's song. That's the genie's song. And then Jafar is singing it, and you're like, oh, I'm in danger now.
Well, Tony, he likes to speak about rabid hyenas. He makes no sense, but his defense is insanity.
And I don't want to get eaten by a hyena.
He talks so dangerously fast, and his plans are too crappy to last. So say hello to extinction, Tony!
No!
There's going to be hyenas in this game, there's going to be the lions in this game.
The lions always go at it all the time.
So Tony thinks he should be the winner of 40 with explanations of food chains naturally. His personality flaws give them all adequate cause to send him packing on a one-way trip where a strategy takes a terminal dip. His future woven, the location chosen, another island in Fuji. Extinction, Tony.
is very good. That is my favorite part of Aladdin, is when Jafar gets his hands on Prince Ali. But get your hands off of Tony Flacos. You don't send him packing on a one-way trip anywhere except $1 million into the bank. And he can deposit that digitally. He doesn't have to leave his home. Protect him. At all costs.
Thank you, James from Canada. Shouldn't it be Scar, though, singing about where lions
He's
and hyenas?
He's not in Aladdin. Oh, but you're talking about lions and hyenas. Yeah, but last week we talked about Aladdin, so it's just like trying to like have some continuity.
It's
and
the
so
same
what this
thing.
Is. No, yeah. No, here's a prediction. Here's a prediction, Rob, because you're right. It is about lions and hyenas, and it yeah. would make sense if
You're
it was Lion
that Scar
King.
Scar doesn't sing a reprise of a song that Simba sings.
No, but he's got Be Prepared, and Be Prepared would be a very good wand off, especially if it starts off with these words as an intro that then gets applied to a Be Prepared wand off that is going to be about this week's episode. We're just moving the ball forward a little bit further.
Okay.
Every single time.
Josh?
Anyway, yeah.
You, in the past, have been anti-mashup. But it's season 40.
I've lifted the ban. All the rules are lifted. Season 40.
We had two takes on a great track for the Wandoff. Here's Lee H., last week's Wandoff winner, giving way to Kevin King, talking about what's going on the beach over at Selle.
Michelle and Wendell. It's a soap opera. She knows they dated. He says they kicked it, but now they're stranded. Trapped on this island, should just ignore him. But she keeps asking, is this gonna be awkward, babe? Did you think you'd be stuck with me? But he thinks that he's such hot He keeps his distance, so she goes swimming, darling. Let's give him something to drool at par. Looking real hot now because they're stars. Something to drool at par. Let's give him something to drool at par. New season, who did this?
Yeah. The tribes are swapping their people. It reunited Michelle and Wendell. Let's make this awkward.
Yes.
Cause that's the ticket. When the whole world knows that you used to kick it, Nick's getting sweaty palms. Cause he's got a crush on a mom. Stranded on a tribe with your ex. Girls are outnumbered. They're probably going next, but let's give him something to drool about.
Yes.
Nick's high school crush will be swimming round. Let's give him something to drool about. How about Parv?
Yeah.
That was a classic hit from the artist Bonnie Rafe.
Bonnie Rafe!
Josh, we've
it
got...
sure was.
We've got one last honorable mention this week.
That's really, really good.
This is from Davis, Will, talking about America's new favorite it couple.
I was relieved we were on different tribes. Buck and Jeff told us to drop our bugs. So now we're stuck on Selle together. But working with you would be too tough. And you say to me, we used to kick it. You want the buddy system with benefits. But I just wanna know, new season, who dis?
New season, who dis? New season, who dis? You betrayed my trust. Now my dream out here on Winners at War is voting you out. To me, I'll just work with Marva.
That was a lovely classic hit from the Bee Gees Law. Recorded at Apple Bee Gees.
Oh, man. Yeah. Apple Bee Gees. Let's hope you make it. For the, I mean, what are we going to give people a gift certificate to if they don't? We'll figure it out.
All right. All right. Josh, are you ready to hear the top five songs in all of Wombat's Nation?
Never been
more ready.
Of course,
you can vote all week long at robhasawebsite.com/votewanda. The tabulator is standing by. And special thanks to top five human, Randy Neupel, for going through all of the Wandoff submissions all week long.
Yeah, top five human, Randy Neupel. And like, yeah, it's just like the work that you're doing right now. You're saving lots of lives by making the wand off a thing. So you were already a top five human, Randy. You may be moving up like the Michael Jeffersons.
All right, Josh, are you ready for song number one for Wombat Nation?
Give it to me now.
Here's Jack P from Chicago. He was the runner-up last week in the Wandoff by one vote and is here to talk about Michelle and Wendell.
What up? It's the Wandoff Dominic Abate, Jack P. from Chicago. Last time I entered, lost the Wandoff by one vote. It's not going to happen again, though. Coming for that crown. The Wombat hat will be mine. And that's on Laurel. Yeah, we used to kick it.
Yes, we did.
We used to kick it.
Yes, we did.
We used to kick it.
Yes, we did.
Now she's back.
Get on this.
We used to kick it. And now I'm standing on the beach with my jaw dropped. I was feeling pretty sweet till the try swap. Now this girl I used to see's got the vibe off. Or it's Nick and Poverty with the side talk. Or it's Poverty and Yule with the white chat. So many people know each other, hard to keep track. No Michelle, you on the bottom, I can see that. But why you put our dirty laundry where the breeze at? Shit, you being pretty harsh with your feedback. I appreciate the honesty, but he's back. I'm not trying to have a combo on the beach stay. And the fact that that's a problem really
so
seems way.
Yes, we did.
Oh, we kicked it.
Yes, we did.
Only kicked it?
Yeah, we did.
Well, that's crap.
Get on there.
Used to kick it. On the tribe with this guy I dated. Now he's acting all shy and shady. I'm just trying to get by here, baby. Throw a line, get a line with your lady. Oh, you trying to be sly? That's crazy. Pop and I gonna give you something tasty. Better turn the shit around for your safety. Cause I will put you in the ground for this payday.
Wow.
Finally, somebody had to say it. I'll say it. Stop rapping. You're trash. At rapping. You're garbage at rapping. You can't rap. You have no bars.
That was from the group, The Tribe Called Cele.
Yes. Yeah. The Tribe Called Cele. Please never stop rapping, Jack B. from Chicago. That was remarkably great. That was really, really, really excellent. It was like super talented. Very, very, very good.
Josh, the number two song in
awesome.
Wombat's Nation comes to us from Chet Awesome.
I hope that's Chet from Micronesia, please. I hope that he's going around these days calling himself Chet Awesome.
We'll see. Here's Chet Awesome.
Oh! Little bit of the D.
This is the greatest and best tribe in the world. Tribute. Long time ago, me and my brother Yule here. We was hitchhiking down a long,
lonesome road.
All of a sudden, there shined a shiny ghost. In the middle
That's amazing.
Of the road. And he said, name the best tribe in the world, or I'll snuff your torch. Well, me and Yule, we looked at each other, and we each said, Duck Call. And we named the first tribe that came to our heads, just so happened to be the best tribe in the world. It was the best tribe in the world. Little Nick, Sophie, Sandra, Tyson, and Yule, Tony, and Terry, and Emmer, and Kim, it was destiny. Once every 40 seasons or so, when the sun does shine, and the moon does glow, and the bread grows. Needless to say, Probst was stunned. Whip crack went his torch snuffer, and Probst was done. He asked us, be you losers? And we said nay. We're winners at war. Rock! This is not the greatest tribe in the world, no. This is just a tribute.
That was a long one from Tenacious D. Lorenzo.
D as twine. Oh, man. I love the D. I love JB and KG. You need me to correct that? I love it.
I'm good.
Yeah. I don't think the Wandoff exists without Tenacious D, to be quite honest. This, in many ways, the Wandoff itself is a tribute to Tenacious D, much like the song is a tribute.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, no.
Okay. Why not?
Lo and behold,
I'm
cannot.
I'm not a Tenacious D person, so I don't know why. It's Jack Black.
Because it's comedy rock. It's comedy rock. Yeah. It's comedy rock. Tenacious D, foundational, formative stuff for your boy Josh Wigley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I love
Is Mike
I love
White
it.
Involved with Tenacious D?
Well, he's buddies with Jack Black. They did the School of Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what KG's participation level was in School of Rock offhand. I'm sure they've crossed paths. I bet KG is a fan mm-hmm. of Mike White.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, he's not in the band. Dave Grohl often plays drums on Tenacious D tracks, so wouldn't be surprising because Dave Grohl and Jeff Probst are buddies.
Mm-hmm.
If Jack Black and Jeff Probst have crossed paths.
Hmm.
Now try imagining that. Imagine Jack Black Jumanjiing his way onto Survivor.
I don't want to imagine anything Jumanjiing anymore.
Are you done on the Jumanji?
Done. Okay. Done. All right. Josh? The number three track in Wombats Nation. Here comes Jordan and Alyssa from Vancouver.
Okay. Thought you were going to say Jordan and Aaron. I was like, guys, no, you did it. No. Take a break. Yeah, take a breath. Gather yourself for the final on.
This was the week they took a break.
You did it. You did it. You can take it easy. Yeah.
Here's Jordan and Alyssa talking about, you guessed it, Wendell and Michelle.
Yeah.
Saw you yesterday undercover.
It was way nicer than this silly shithole.
Since you've been here, it has sucked to be me.
You reminded me of brighter days.
I thought you were my boyfriend to stay. Thought we were actually dating.
I was off to kick it all day.
I put your toothpick away. Confessional stutter all day. I can't look at you while you're lying next to you. I can't look at you while you're lying next to you.
That was an amazing duet from Kid Rocky Reed and Cheryl Crowley. Not an easy one.
No. All right.
Speaking of great duos.
Uh-huh.
Wandoff Legends, Corey B. and Alex G.
Wow.
Got back together to kick it again. Here's their song all about Wendell and Michelle.
Tell me how I'm supposed to win with you there.
Hey, Corey. I'm in the mood for a Wandoff. You up?
New Wandoff. Who dis?
We hung, we kicked it casual. Screwed by the swap and once by you. Now you're sharpening the axe near me for real.
Okay, what does Michelle sound like?
You dumped me from your life. You broke my heart, can't stand your vibes. I don't know how playing with you is fair.
I hope that you expect me still the power of a hot tea. Our relationship revolves around this awkward energy.
Tell me how I'm supposed to win with you there. I feel tension in the air. We're on an island in our underwear. It's not fair, not fair. Not fair, fair. Ex-pair.
Spilling all apart the hot tea.
That's so good.
A little bit more TLC. It's not fair, not fair.
Do you expect me to let this feel so cringy? Cause we kicked it, now I see you in a telling party.
Not fair, fair. We're in our underwear.
Wow, that Parv hot tea. So hot, wouldn't pass the nose test. Or it does, Pat. You wouldn't want to stick your nose.
Yeah, cold doesn't pass the nose test.
Wow, that was dope.
That was from the great Clay Jordan Sparks. A diamond in the rough.
It's a gross thing to think about. Like, when you think about, like, the mashing of the two, fusing of the persons. Jordan, that's so unfair to Jordan Sparks to turn her into some sort of genetic hybrid with Clay Jordan. Is not fair. Not fair. Indeed.
And Josh, here comes the number five song in all of Wombat's Nation. Here comes Michael J. Clark and Laura E.D.
Yeah.
To talk about the relationship of Michelle and Wendell.
I never thought there'd come the day.
Ooh, I love this song.
They would ask her back to play. But now, just to avoid cliche, I guess I just have to say that her and I used to kick. Michelle and I have been known to sext at times. We never had a DTR, what I call a hang, she calls a date. We had standing plans, we may have held hands, but now it's a habit. Yes, her and I used to kick it. Her and I used to chill on Thursday nights.
We would just kick it, you know?
I never thought this game was sex, forcing me to live with my ex's smug grin. I wanna yell. He's got a thing with you and Nick, hang on each word like a toothpick and part. She thinks it didn't end well. It didn't end well.
One couple of seas, we hung out.
We talked on the phone 5 times a day.
It wasn't a thrill, just Netflix and chill.
I'm saved on your phone is bae.
And I used to kick it. And I used to kick it. You can define our courtship anyway. Either we used to kick it or we used to
That was Grandpa Please, Joe Angle.
Okay. Keep going.
From the film, Charlie Herschel and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay, I thought you were going to say in the Poop Not Chocolate Factory.
No.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I never thought that I would find a Grandpa Joe wand off here. Oh, my God. I was thinking about Grandpa Joe the other day.
Oh, don't.
As I often worst. Do. Well, I just hope that when he has to get
you're getting in bed for 20 years and you're not going to get out.
There's that. I was going to say, I just hope when Grandpa Joe gets out of bed, he's as vibrant as the Grandpa Joe in Willy Wonka.
Yeah. Nicole came upstairs before and she said,
"Oh, that's so funny."
That Dominic was like stopped from his homeschooling today. He's like, Mom, why is Dad listening to Willy Wonka?
Wait, Dominic has seen Willy Wonka? How old is Dominic?
Yes, extensively.
Is 5, 6?
Six, yeah.
I think 6 is a little young. The Slugworth stuff in like the tunnel is very scary, Rob.
Josh, when you have kids, that you will learn the great lesson that your dad knows about the joy of showing your children inappropriate things at a young age.
I saw Terminator 2 when I was a 7-year-old, so... You know, I shouldn't be throwing stones here. But I'm just thinking about from Dominic's perspective, what's going through his head as Charlie's in... What does he think when he meets Slugworth? Is he like, that's a bad guy? Or is he like legitimately creeped out by Slugworth?
We just skip the part on the boat. That's the one thing we skip.
Oh, yeah. No, that's too messed up. He can't see that.
It's too messed up.
They'll show him that when he's 28.
Yeah.
When it's age appropriate.
You can vote all week on the WandaOff at robhasawebsite.com/votewanda. And of course... Special thanks to the tabulator who makes sure each and every wand off vote gets counted, except for those from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Do we want to, we got to really be vigilant about Cherry Hill. They're all hands on deck right now. So this could be very bad. It could be very bad coming from Cherry Hill.
And of course, be sure to keep the wand offs rolling in. Send your wand offs every week to wandoff or wiggle room at robhasawebsite.com, where Randy Nupa will add it to the SoundCloud playlist, where the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast will get access to the entire SoundCloud playlist. This week, some 40 some odd tracks.
Nice. That's a good number, all things considered, what's going on. That's great. I love that you guys are still doing
48.
This. That's great. That's great. It's almost 50.
Yeah.
It's 50.
Right there.
Almost 50.
All right, Josh. And for me, Casey Kasem is a reminder to, until next time, keep your feet on the ground and your hands off the table and your
everything.
Face.
And everything. Keep your touch nothing. Touch nothing.
There
oh, my
go.
God. Thank you, Casey Kasem. Oh, my All God. Right. Oh, my God. What a blast, huh? Yeah. Well, that was the best.
Good.
That was the best. It's always the best. Oh man, I love you guys. I love you, Rob. I love Casey. I love all of you who make the music and everyone who laughs along with us.
They are the music makers.
We are the dreamer of dreams. We are the laugher of laughs. We're the dreamer of dreams with a Z.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is great. We need this very, 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 very badly right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very clear. We need this very, very, very badly. So I'm thrilled that we're doing it. What a blast. What an absolute delight. Best night ever.
Josh and I already talked about Curb Your Enthusiasm today with the glue, Uncle Kiwi. Be sure to check that out if you're following this Curb Your Enthusiasm season to hear about Beep Panic.
Yeah, which was, we didn't really get into a bad name for the episode.
Yeah, Beep Panic is like when I used to play the wand off entry, the wand off alert and surprise you. And then you would
you did do that every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
But we now know you can't play that trick anymore.
Yeah.
I always know when it's coming.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Josh, but you have so much going on.
Woo! Yeah. Lots happening right now. Poster recaps.
Westworld's apart.
Very busy. Westworld's apart. Yeah. The Westworld is back. Season 3 is back. Joe Garfine and I recapped the first episode. That podcast is already live. Later this week, I am going to be speaking with robotics expert extraordinaire, the great Survivor player Christian Hubicki is going to be joining me over at Post Show Recaps to talk about Westworld and robots. I wouldn't be surprised if we sneak some... We'll seek some Survivor coverage in there, I'm sure.
Is that the theme for season 3 of Westworld? The chicken has flown the coop?
No. There was some cows in the first episode. I didn't see any chickens.
But generally, the robots have left Westworld.
Well, it seems that way, yeah. But like, I don't want to spoil the end of the first episode.
Okay.
But we're going to be talking about that. Bruchacho? So if you like your brochacho and mine, Christian Hubicki, he's going to be on Post Show Recaps, and we're open for questions. We would love questions from you, the listener out there, about preferably Westworld and robots and stuff like that, but anything really. We'll probably talk about it. So that's happening. We're kicking it on Post Show Recaps over there. Better Call Saul podcast will be dropping tomorrow morning with Antonio Mazzaro and I. Jessica Lease and I had a very fun time laughing about the apocalypse, talking about The Walking Dead on what we thought was one of the very best episodes of the entire show, and I think one of the best podcasts we've ever done about it. That's already available for you on Post Show Recaps. As Rob said, Curb Your Enthusiasm has happened. We got some Down the Hatch stuff coming. We're working on maybe getting that your way a little bit earlier this week than usual. We just want to load you guys up with as much as we can right now. And then Jess and Mike also have Star Trek Picard going on. So just so much happening on Post Show Recaps. It's really quite a bit happening.
A lot of stuff going on. So
if that wasn't enough, the Top Chef podcast is coming back. Top Chef.
Okay, tell us when is this happening?
Top Chef All-Stars is premiering Thursday night. The Top Chef judges table, we're forming back like Voltron. There's six of us. It's myself. It's Mike Bloom. It's Haley Strong. It's Antonio Mazzaro. It's Curtis Clark. And with the prestigious and credit, I babe you not, Emily Fox.
Wow.
We will be back together to do a preview show. We're recording that tomorrow night. If you like Top Chef, get us your feedback. You can tweet at us. You know all the Twitter handles. If you don't, I'm Round Howard. I'll get it to everybody else. It's going to be massively fun. Top Chef is such a great show. And if you haven't watched it before, this would be a really fun time to hop in. It's on Bravo Thursday nights. We'll be doing recaps. I think we're trying to record them, I think, on Saturdays. That might be premature to say. But I think that's what we're ultimately aiming for. But we're going to have weekly Top Chef coverage for you guys, with whether it's the full six-headed dragon of a panel that we've got, or it's some permutation of us. But
the dragon has six
clock, heads. Seems like we're available. So we should have some really, really fun Top Chef podcasts coming your way in reality TV wrap-ups.
Okay, so be on the lookout for that. News AF is going. This is a News AF season. Be sure to check out myself and Danny and Tyson on Tuesday, and then we'll get back to
it. Seems like a can't-miss episode.
Yeah. A proper know-it-all is coming up on Wednesday, and I'll be back with Stephen Fishback on Wednesday night. And so got so much going on. Don't forget everything that Taryn is doing. doing with the LFC on Big Brother Canada as well. Josh, can you believe these people locked in the Big Brother Canada house?
I don't like it.
You don't like? Oh, you don't like it?
I don't like it.
You don't like it because it's Big Brother?
No, I think they should probably not be there, but I don't know. I don't know what
you think they
about.
Should stop Big Brother?
I don't know that they should be there. I don't know. Whatever. Move on. I don't like to talk okay. about Big Brother. I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Don't let your feelings Cox, about Big Brother. This is for millions of people are enjoying this.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad. Don't let me yuck your yum.
Don't take away the Big Brother live feeds from people. Also,
I'll keep that to we can. Yeah, if
you talk Taryn to me in my, do during this whole time
in my DMs.
Yes,
okay. Then we can talk how I really feel about that.
Okay, all right.
I won't yuck your yum. You guys enjoy whatever's bringing you joy right now. I support that feeling.
Okay,
the pursuit of joy, the pursuit of happiness. All right, is
of course. If you want to get a hold of that SoundCloud playlist, robhasawebsite.com/patron. We've got a lot going on here in our patron community. It's a good time to come join us and join the conversation that we're having in our Facebook groups. And, come hang out. robhasawebsite.com/
Video Wandoffs, apparently.
Yeah, we did the Wandoff here on video.
This is fun. Well, I would do this again. This was great.
Well, look, this is a blast. Look, we're here. We're experimenting now.
We're messing around. We got weird stuff going on.
Playing with the formula right now.
All of the rules are off the table. The world is changing, and so are we.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Follow Josh Wiggler. He's on Twitter, at Round Howard. I'm Rob Cesarino. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Out on the Tikal Beach, here's the stance. You'll hunt the poker alliance. And though they said they'd tell Nick goodbye, you get voted out and you learn they lied. Bye, bye, Tyson Apostle. Losing you is super awful. Bye, bye, Tyson Apostle. Your 5,000 torches in the wind. And though we'll miss you playing next Wednesday, we know you will just be an edge away. And here's the part that makes us smile. You'll live the aloha lifestyle. Bye, bye, Tyson Apostle. Losing you is super awful. Bye, bye, Tyson Apostle. Your 5,000 torches in the wind.